I'm just grateful for that. I am grateful to have this church because she just constantly talks about the love that you guys have shown her, and my Amen. Auntie. Amen. And it doesn't matter what denomination you are. The one end subject should be the Lord and the love that he has for us as well as we have for him. Amen. So right now, I just want you to bear with her because she loves to sing, as I'm sure you all know that. So she's going to sing a little song for you. Okay.
Amen. I'm just glad to see everybody had such a good time. And I thank God for each and every one of you all.
Go ahead.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am weak, I am worn through the storm and through the night. Lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home.
Very good. Amen. Thank you, Mary. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Amen. Kathy, come on up here, Kathy. Hallelujah. Kathy shared a word in the first service here that really felt it's needful here today. Amen.
All right. excuse me. This morning when I woke up, I saw a vision, and I was thinking about it, and the Lord said, tell them. So this is for you, okay, and for me. And this is what I saw. I'm trying to describe it the way I could best. There was like a line straight across. Underneath was like cloudiness and kind of dark and just clouds. That's all you could see, you know, like maybe things going on in this world, maybe things going on in our life right now. But above this line was very clear. It was like a sunny day. The clouds were white, you know, blue skies, just beautiful, beautiful. And I feel like the Lord is saying that we're to be watchful and mindful of suddenlies that are going to happen in our life. And he's going to rip the veil down. And we're not going to know what happened. I mean, we've been praying and believing and standing, so we will, but it's going to come suddenly. So he's saying put a demand on his word, whether it's written word, spoken word, put a demand, okay, and speak to the mountain. Speak to it. You know, he reminds me, watch your words, Kathy. Watch your words because, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we have to watch what we're speaking. You know, we're not denying what's happening in the natural, but God, the truth of God overrides, you know, everything that's happening. And Psalms 33:11, for all of us, it says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So he wants to give us, you know, he wants to give us his counsel, and he wants to give all of us, because we're all of his generations, all his thoughts. So praise God and thank him for the best that's yet to come.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good job. Thank you, Kathy. Amen. God is good. Amen. Well, welcome everyone. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Last week, the Lord blew up the services, so we couldn't get very far in the Word, but how many knows that's still a good thing? I'm here glad you're serving the King. Amen. It was good to see Mary be able to come today and see her daughter and granddaughter there. It's just, God is good. Amen. Amen. Psalm 16, have you found it? Now, a few people mentioned that they I read some posts. Hey, I'm going through that psalm. If you haven't read that, read through that, because we're going to go through that in the next couple weeks. I know I'm not going to get through it all. I'm going to recap here. In verse 1 says, "Preserve me, O Lord, for in you I put my trust." That word preserve here is to save, to keep me from actual suffering and the danger that is near. How many of us, we're living in a day and age like never before. How many of us, the Lord can still preserve us today. David's crying out, say, "Lord, preserve me, I need you." I believe that's something that we all need to do. I believe we need to speak that over ourselves and also our families. Like many of you, my life has been spared a few times. It has. To God be the glory. Because He's not finished with me yet. Amen. Say amen. When God's finished with you, He can take you home. I've had several opportunities in my life where, Lord, it's like, God help me. Amen. I was in a hunting accident a while ago, and I know what it's like to be hit by a shotgun. I'm here to tell you, getting shot feels like getting hit with a baseball bat. I got shot in the face, and some of the pellets hit me in the face, and one went here and went up, and you could see it under my skin, bulged out. Just a little bit lower, and I wouldn't be here today, amen? It knocked me off my feet, and I'm laying in the woods, my face is bleeding, and I really thought I was done. It was unexpected. A gentleman didn't see me walking through, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm airborne right off my feet. All those movies that show you where the guy takes 80 shots and he keeps running, that's not reality. I got hit once and I was airborne. I remember it blew me off my feet, and I'm laying on the ground next to this tree that fell, and I'm laying there like, oh man, blood's dripping down my face, and I'm like, Lord, is this it for me? How many of those thoughts go through your mind? We're about 10, 12 miles from the nearest town. I'm out in the middle of the woods. And how do you remember back when you didn't have cell phones? Does anybody remember that? I remember when you had to use a pay phone. Remember pay phones? Oh, nobody in here. My buddy finds me. He feels horrible. How many think you'd feel horrible? Hey, I just shot the pastor. Glory to God. Amen. He felt horrible, and he runs up to me. Are you okay? I can't look out of my eye. I'm like, yeah, I'm still living. I go, but listen, you got to help me out of here, because there ain't no way they're going to find us out here in the woods. I says, I can get to my feet, but you have to help me. So he picked me up, and we're stumbling out. It feels like we walked a mile. I know it wasn't that far, but it feels like we walked a mile. Well, that's just to get out to the road. Well, the pickup truck we were in was a couple miles down the road. We were walking through the woods, and I said, well, just set me right here. So I'm sitting by the side of the road, face is bleeding, and he's gone. You know what? There wasn't one person who passed by that day. Not one car. Not one thing. It felt like an eternity, even though it wasn't. So I sat there, and I'm holding my face here, and I'm going in and out of consciousness, and all of a sudden I hear his truck. He has this big Ford truck rumbling down the road, and he is a-flying. I hear the motor roar, and he slams on the brakes. He takes me and chucks me in, because we don't have time to call an ambulance, because who has a phone? So he throws me in the truck. He's there, and he's driving to the hospital. It's a ways away. We finally get there, and it's the first time I didn't have to fill out paperwork. I mean, your arm can be falling off. Fill this out, triplicate here, amen? Oh, you forgot something here. What's your insurance card, amen? It's the first time they went, oh, here, go right on through. I told the lady, look, I got some insurance. Can I fill that out later? Oh, absolutely. They wheeled me in, put me on a stretcher. And then here's the good news. Nurse comes up to me. They rush me through the x-ray. They want to make sure they can find all the pellets. And they said, you know what? The best surgeon is in town today. He was here on a conference. He's here at the hospital. And we've notified him we have an emergency. He says he'll do the surgery. I said, how many of the Lord's still working? Yes. Amen? They wheel me in, they do all the prep, and you know all that stuff that goes on. And I remember looking at the doctor. He says, you know what, son, I'm going to fix you up. I could tell he was well in his years. I could tell he's been doing it for 40, maybe 50 years. He looked at me, he goes, "You're not even going to be able to tell when I'm done. I'm going to open up your eye socket, and I'm going to pull everything out, and I'm going to stitch you back up. People won't even know you've had surgery." How many think I'm looking at him with one eye going, "Okay, I'm glad I'm living, amen." They put the mask on, I go under, I wake up, and I have the bandage on. It's there for a couple weeks, and I don't know if I can see or not. The doctor who did the work went back to wherever his practice was. And then they came time to pull the bandage off. How many of those, during those times, it's kind of exciting, but also fearful? I haven't seen out of that eye in a long time. And now they start to lift it up, and I saw a little bit of light when they started to lift it up. It was so packed in there, they unbandaged it. It says, "Keep your eye closed. I don't want you to open up right away." But I could tell a little bit of light was entering in. I'm like, "Cool. Cool. Things are good. Cool." He says, "I want you slowly," he turned the lights off in the office room there, "and I want you to slowly begin to open up your eye." And all of a sudden, it's so different. When you use one eye for a long time, the vision changes between two. My other eye got real dominant, so I go, "Things are really blurry." He goes, "That's okay. It'll clear up." Hallelujah. And soon I begin to look and colors begin to come back. Amen. Well, I wanted to go over to the mirror and I wanted to see, man, my face all messed up. I went over to the mirror and, dude, I could see the scar where he had it, where he stitched it. I go, "Not bad at all." Amen. And most people don't even know. You can't even tell, can you? But they had half my face lifted off there to get the work done. How many of those, God's with you? And during the whole time, I met a nurse that knew the Lord. She grabbed my hand and says, "You know what, I'm going to pray for you that everything will turn out okay." In my mind, I'm thinking of this song, that, "Lord, preserve me in the midst of what I'm going through. In the midst of danger, you'll be with me." And I began to have that hope, and she grabbed my hand. And it wasn't one of those little bless me prayers. It was one of those ones where you call down heaven, amen? Where this nurse wasn't ashamed to be a Christian. She said, "Oh God, move. Touch this young man in this bed. Lord, restore him better than whole in the name of Jesus. Guide these doctors and nurses right here, Lord. These physicians, Lord. These surgeons, touch them and give them an extra skill in Jesus' name." How many of us? I'm like, yeah. Just listening to a prayer, I'm like, I'm rejuvenated. Now count back from 10. Amen. 9. I'm out. I wake up. God's preserved me. Glory to God. Amen. I shouldn't have made it, but I made it. Hallelujah. I should be disfigured, but I'm not. Can God preserve? David's crying out in the midst of war, in the midst of battles, "Lord, preserve me. I put my trust in you." It's one thing when things are great, but it's another thing when you're going through it. And if you're not going through it, somebody else is. To declare with that confidence that God will see you through. I said, God will see you through. Hallelujah. I shared with some of you, I worked on this assembly line and we were making these giant containers, big steel containers. And we'd build these big walls and some of them were as long as this room, about 10 feet tall. They were real thick steel. And I was working with a gentleman, the boss forgot to weld the hook in there. We hook it on big overhead cranes. We had 100-ton cranes that would roll through the building. And he got the wall straight up and we had to move it off the table. Well, it got straight up, and the Holy Spirit said this to me, "Move!" I heard that as loud as I'm speaking to you. And what I did is I started to run, and the hook came out of the container and began to fall right behind me. And I'm running, and it fell right behind me. I mean, it was the Lord still looks out. Preserve me, oh God. I'm glad that my life was current with the Lord. I'm glad I could hear. Somebody say amen. Because I wouldn't have moved because it was a normal process. We lift walls all day long off that table. But one day it forgot to weld it in. When I heard it hit the table and bang, it blew things apart. And I remember doing this. Oh, you guys would be all perfect, wouldn't you? I remember shaking, going, man, I just couldn't stop shaking. And I look back and it's like the whole shop shut down because it was so loud. It was like a giant boom. Thank you, Lord. I wonder how many times David in the midst of battle said, "Lord, preserve me. My enemies hate me." How about having the king of his day after you? It'd be like the President of the United States having all the resources in the world coming after you in your home. That makes it real. Then you got to hide in caves. You don't know who you can trust. You got to leave your family. And he cries out, Lord, preserve me. Help me. During this time, David is in the land of the Philistines. He isn't at home with his family. He doesn't have all that company. He doesn't have great people around him. But he's got God on his side. More than ever, we need to have that on a daily bet. We need to say, Lord, I need you daily. I said, Lord, I need you daily. David's trusted him before. Listen to me, he's going to trust him again. It's not a new act. What he's done before, he's going to continue. We need to trust God in this present day. I said, we need to trust God in this present day. Oh, somebody needs to say amen. The Bible says in Revelation that in the last days, pestilence would be there. Matthew 24 said pestilence would be there. We're living in those day and age. That we have to realize that what God is doing, he's doing worldwide. Say amen. My hope was this. I kind of hope that this pandemic we've just been going through would draw more people to the Lord. But it hasn't. It hasn't. It hasn't been where people like are flocking to get their life right. But we need to pray. Say amen. We need to pray. But I look at the church. How much are we trusting in the Lord? How much are we putting our faith in Him? Say, God, I need you. I need you on a daily basis. Not when things are just so bad, but things when they're glorious and things are beautiful, at peace, we need to call out, I need you. In Psalm 7, verse 1, it says, in you, Lord, I put my trust. Save me from those who persecute me. Deliver me. In Psalm 11, verse 1, I put my trust in you, O Lord. I flee like a bird to the mountain. When David's looking at his protection, I like what Matthew Henry said. He has a cheerful, believing confidence. A cheerful, believing confidence. Do you know when you're cheerful, it means you're upbeat, you're more in tune, you're happy. We need to have that with our Lord. No matter what we're going through, I have that cheerful confidence that God's going to see me through. Now, I shared this with the first service. Now, I don't want you to be pounding them down here, but I've met some people that have been drunk and been happy. Oh, look at all of you. Oh, what's Pastor going here? I have. I've met some people that have been cheerful and they've been drunk. They want everyone to join in the party. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Oh, come on. You look at me like I'm an alien. The truth is that's right. Now, I'm not saying you should do that, but I've met some people. Amen. I came from a family that wasn't saved. They were good at pounding them down. Not just pints either. We're talking half gallons would show up. Some of you know what that is. Amen. How many ex-heathens do I got in here? Get that hand up. Amen. Well, I notice that, listen to me, when there's a party going on and they're cheerful, they want other people to partake in their cheerfulness. I've met family members that have been sulking and go outside because they're mad at something. Every time we get together, we're not happy. I mean, it brings down the party. It does. Well, your families are perfect. How many have families that sometimes don't get along? Uncle Jim and Sue, they never get along, amen? And who knows, you got Uncle Ralph in your family. He needs some help. But when it comes to being a believer, what if we can have that cheerful confidence that God's going to see us through? Hallelujah. During the whole time that I'm bleeding in the woods and now sitting by the side of the road, I wasn't fearful at all. I was bummed. It hurt like unbelievable. But how much in your greatest need, God will come down and help you. That's why any saint who goes home to be with the Lord will make sure you're comforted during that time. He'll take you home. Because how else are you going to get there? I mean, she's got to lead the way. Hallelujah. But at that moment, God will be there. When he watches every bird, if a sparrow dies, I attended its funeral. How much more us will the Lord take care of? David's declaring, listen to me, I know I'm going through it. I'm facing a lot of challenges, but you know what? That's not going to change on who I am and who I believe in. I have that confidence. I have that cheerful confidence that God's going to see me through. Because here's the thing. What's the worst that could happen in your life? You lose it. You get to be with the Lord. And that's not a bummer of a thing. That's the ultimate graduation. Okay, three amens. I'm here to tell you that's the ultimate graduation. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And nobody that has seen heaven or been there wants to come back. It's so glorious. To me, it's the first time you can really relax and know that you're home. To me, I believe that we're going to have to adjust a little bit to that lifestyle. Because it's going to be so glorious. And can you imagine? One day, you're going to see Jesus face to face. That's going to be awesome. What you walked by faith with, now you're going to see by sight. And he's not going to go, "Oh, Tiger, glad you made it. A little worried there for times." No, he's going to run to you and hug you just like you will do to him. What a moment that will be, amen? And nobody in heaven is going to be jealous. If the Lord's with my sister and talking with her, you're not going to go, "I wish I was next." No, you're going to be like, "I'm glad he's talking to her." All that stuff will be gone. Oh, somebody say amen. All that flesh will be gone. If there's money currency there, and I'm not saying there is, you could have $1 million on your front porch, and if you said nobody touch it, not one person would ever touch it or covet it. Oh, that's good stuff, amen? You're going to like where you end up. The darker this world gets, more heaven, listen to me, is beautiful. I don't believe you can be too heavenly minded to be no earthly good. The more I'm heavenly minded, the more earthly good I am. The more my life has value. The more I realize how much there is for me. That's good preaching today, preacher. Somebody say amen. Those who walk by faith, listen to me, commit themselves to His divine care. We submit ourselves to His divine guidance. And we have reason to both hope to do so. When that doctor told me, "I'm going to fix you up, son," I had to trust his word. But one thing I did is I looked at him and I go, "This guy has some great age to him." It did. It struck me. I go, he wasn't a young guy. I could tell he just wasn't an intern. I could tell that this gentleman spent time and he knew what he was talking about. When he was looking me over, I could tell in his mind, he was like, "Yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, I've done that before." How many knows the Lord's been taking care of people for thousands of years? It's not a new thing for the Lord to do it. And if we think we're living in a new day and age, how many knows there's been sin rampant every generation? In fact, there's been more plagues happen that took many more lives than even what's going on now. I know it's bad now, but listen to me. There's millions of people have died from things. But God is with us, amen? When we have a living faith in a living God, listen to me, every threatening danger, we can trust Him. How about this? In every experience of human insecurity, we can trust Him. David experienced all of it. There are times, listen to me, you're faced with a situation where you don't know if you're going to make it, or you feel like things are falling apart. God will be with you. Sometimes you'll stand there with your families. And if you live long enough, sooner or later you may bury one of your family members. In the midst of all that, God is still the same. I've learned this, and I appreciate Kathy bringing a word. The soil of our confession needs to be in the living God of revelation. And my confession is in Him. Hallelujah. If we really believe our words work, are powerful, we'll change our vocabulary. That's pretty weak. Our personal experience with God, it's essential in faith. And what the Lord has done for you, speak that for others. We need more prophetic testimony today. I said we need more prophetic testimony today to unlock that supernatural. How many of you wish you had a word when you're going forth with some tragedy? Then we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can be at home and God will impress you for a word for a brother and sister. Call them. If you know it's God, call them. Speak that word. Oh, that's good preaching. Come on. I mean, that brings confidence. I appreciate the brothers and sisters prayed for me. These last couple months, every time I went to the doctor, it's never like, "Do you have a hangnail?" No, are you going to live or are you going to die? Amen? Every test is like serious tests. I'm like, I just like to go in and just say hi to people. Amen? Well, I saw the urologist the other day. I had to go through tests. He goes, yeah, I looked at all your stuff. I'm not going to make you go through any more tests. I'm like, cool. I mean, here's my bud. And I could tell he chuckled at it because he's tired of that. I go, yeah, I'm tired of that. He goes, look, I looked at all the other reports. They're all pretty good. You don't have to take any more. So we just talked about nothing. I think we talked about his clothes. Because I looked down and he had socks with the name of the hospital on it. And I said, dude, I go, there's the name of the hospital's on your socks. He goes, yeah. They were giving them away for free. So I took some. I go, oh, that's cool. So I asked him, they give you underwear too and t-shirts? He goes, no, just socks. He goes, but then I started wearing them and they're comfortable, so I asked for more pairs. So I got a whole bunch of them. I got one for every day of the week. That was my conversation with the doctor. How many of us, he let it all down too. He wasn't worried about his profession. I know sometimes we just got to relax in God's presence. He knows what we need. Now that doesn't mean he don't speak it, but sometimes I don't have to remind him what I need a touch for. Oh, I'm preaching now. Amen? I know in an instant he can heal my hands and my feet. Glory to God. So every day I speak, Lord, today's the day. Now's the time. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I'm positioning myself for a miracle. Lord, in your hands. Amen? Oh, see, God is good. Somebody, God is good. Well, I made it farther in the first service than I did in this service. Amen? Look at verse 2. It says, my soul... Thou hast said, thou art my Lord. My goodness extends not to thee. A better rendering is this. My happiness has not added anything to you. When I look at God, he was happy before he met me. I said he was happy before he met me. Somebody say amen. He wanted me in his world. No doubt about it. I can bring him happiness. But before he met me, he was joyful. I mean, it was before we were, he was. He was completing himself. He brought us into his world. He's a happy guy. I want you to know that. He laughs. He enjoys life. And now he's brought us into his world. David declares, you know what, Lord? I can add nothing to you, but I'm so glad you're in my life. He recognizes that, God, you're all I need. Hallelujah. And I've learned this. You really can't be happy without goodness. You can't be happy without a change of heart. You may experience some joy a little bit, but when you get saved, there's a peace there. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of being saved. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he's my Lord. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. I am going to be happy every day the rest of my life. Sometimes you got to fight for your happiness. Oh, nobody knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes you got to declare, you know what? This is not going to bum me out today. Amen? How many ever went into a situation and you're like this? I just know what's going to happen. I know it's going to be that way. One, two, three. How many have declared, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm still going to be happy. They're not going to take my joy away because I'm not going to give it up. Glory to God. When I look at Jesus, think about what he went through. That the insults he had to have, and believe me, all the power of hell was against him. Yet he listened to it, he heard it, but he never let it penetrate his heart. I want that also. That they can speak all manner of evil against you, you don't have to receive that. Nope, that's not me. Amen? When they call them illegitimate, that's not me. Come on. How about this? You saved others, save yourself. Come down from that cross, show us, and then we'll believe. How about all the insults when he's having a crown of thorns jabbed on his head? When he's being whipped and beaten? Many times when they'd scourge people, they'd take that whip. Many times they found out that some criminals would confess to other areas they committed. And they would write it down, and they'd solve a lot of mysteries that were done to other people. But every whack Jesus got, he had nothing to confess. I did no wrong. I have wronged nobody. I want to walk in the fullness of what He has promised. Anybody in here? Like I've always shared with you, we've heard so many salvation messages, we believe that, no problem at all. But what about the rest of the things He purchased for us? I want all of that to work too. The same faith that saves me also heals me. Oh, somebody needs to scream, amen. Jesus said, which is it harder for me to say, pick up your mat and walk, or thy sins be forgiven? But that you may know I have power to do both. We also need people like this. Remember when He was in the house and all of a sudden they begin to take the roof off because there's so many people, and they let the guy down by the mat with little ropes and a bed, and Jesus saw their faith, not His faith on the mat, their faith. We need more of that today. Listen to me, if it's hard for somebody to believe, and believe me, sometimes it's difficult. I don't have healing down to a pat yet. Oh, you're all perfect in here. I do believe He can heal, though. Amen? But if I can join in with your faith, glory to God, I receive it too. Amen? Imagine all of a sudden they let Him down and Jesus saw their faith and said, hey, take up your mat and walk. I want to see more of that in the church. I said, how many want to see more of that in the church? I'm praying for more notable miracles to manifest in our midst. That's a mouthful. I'm praying for that to happen, that people can see that our God is God. He's with us. David declares, preserve me, O God. Lord, your goodness is there. Hallelujah. In Psalm 105, verse 5 says this, remember His marvelous works, the wonders that He's done, the judgments of His mouth. Lord, remember. God, I'm going to remember. We need to rehearse that when the enemy is breathing in us, you're not going to make it, or you won't amount to nothing, or. You all know that times of insecurity. Does anybody? How many ever had a weak moment in your life? You had a moment of insecurity. Believe me, it's all there. It's in this natural flesh. But how many ever rose up in faith saying, you know what? God before me, who can be against me? Sometimes you got to speak that area, amen? I want more miracles done in the church that the doctors have to go, I don't know what happened to you. I don't have an explanation, and you can tell them what happened to you. Because anyone who's healed will show up in the doctor's office. Amen? Even Jesus did that. He healed somebody, go show yourself to the priest and offer up the sacrifice Moses had. Let Him deem you clean. Can God still do it? Amen? I often, my heart, when I look at Scripture and I read about the lepers, where they had to announce themselves unclean. They had to scream out and ring a bell, and people had to scatter in front of them. They no longer could be with their families. They couldn't go to church. The only people they could associate with were people of like passion and faith. Until Jesus shows up. And there's 10 of them. Ooh, 10 of them. Extraordinary leprosy going on here. What did Jesus do? Do you know that He healed all 10? He healed all 10. Notice that after 9, He goes, I'm too tired. Oh, if you weren't number 3, you're not going to make it. No, He healed all 10. How come only one came back? How come only one person looked at themselves and said, God, I'm whole, and came back to praise His name? And Jesus pronounced a blessing upon him. You know, God's done so many things for so many people over this planet. And how many have came back to praise His name? Well, I don't know why I made it through that. I don't know why that car turned out of the way. I don't know why this happened. But hey, must not be my day. Must be my day. How many times have God rescued all of us in here? Say amen. How many times as a baby God rescued you? I've seen babies take little, those paper clips and stick them in an outlet before. I was over at my buddy's house and it blew up in the little kid's hands. Kids, little char on the fingers, wiped off the char, no damage at all. Does He watch over infants too? Absolutely. How many in this room God has spared your life somehow, some way? Something turned out of the way. Something did this. Listen to me. We have to be thankful. We have to look and say, God, thank you that you're there. David declares, Lord, you preserved me, but you've done it before. You'll do it again. And God, in that I'm thankful. I'm happy with this. And I have that confidence now in my life as I'm aging. Even in a land of Philistines where they could care about you, I still have that current relationship. The church needs to be speaking faith today. I said the church needs to be speaking faith today. The more we do, the less the pandemic will be around. Oh, come on. Oh, I agree with that. You know what? If you agree with the CDC, is that me saying it right? CBC, CDC? How many of those, they change like the wind. One day you can have this, one day you can't have this. You ever notice we went from masks to nothing in one day? And now we're going back to this. How many of us, we need the Lord? He's the only one who has the answers. How about we just heal the situation? How about we lay hands on the sick and they what? Okay, let me make it modern today. You got COVID, so don't come up for prayer. You got leprosy, but you can come up for it. Your skin is falling off your body. You're rotting while you live. But that's okay. Do you see how it makes no sense? Let's not walk in fear. Now, I know it's real in the planet. Don't get me wrong. But somewhere faith has to arise. Can somebody say amen? Listen, when I'm sick, I don't fake it like I'm not sick. No, I'm sick and I need healing. How many of us, I don't deny the reality of it, but I look to the one who can change the situation. We need to also have that. That isn't a negative faith. I heard a preacher one time say, if you're sick, you don't have the faith. To me, it's like, no, if I'm sick, I need that somebody to pray for me. Makes no sense. Amen? When I was growing up, I went to a church that they said that all the miracles died with the last apostle. I was taught that as a young person. Until one day in my small brain, I went, what if I was the next guy to get prayed for? And the last disciple is aged. Don't die yet. Don't die yet. I want to get prayed for. Oh, he just died. Everything quit. Could you imagine the bummer that would be? How many of us, that makes zero sense? So in my own little mind, I go, that can't be true. God can't wait for that person there. That's the only reason why I'm still doing it. How many of us, we need more on healing. We need more on deliverance. I went to crusades where I saw half the audience deal with demonic oppression instantly when God moved. And I was blown away by so many people who were affected by the enemy. And they all looked normal when they came in. How many of us, when the Spirit of the Lord comes, He stirs up that area in the Spirit. He exposes all those things. The enemy is rampant today. He's speaking fear, doubt, and unbelief in people's lives. He's the Spirit, He's the Prince of the power of the air, the Spirit of the works in those who are disobedient. We need God. We need a fresh move of God. David's declaring, you know what? He's there for me. He'll be there for you. What He's done before, He'll do again. Amen. I have to stop here. Are you enjoying this message? Come on, we need the Lord. I said we need Him. Things are well, we need Him. Things are unbelievably tough, we need Him. Listen, if you got things right, pray for somebody else. And I'm serious about prophetic utterances. God drops in your heart a word, you know it's from the Lord, it's for a brother or sister. Listen to me, you have relationship with them, share that. And here's the next thing. Not everything that is spoken by a person is gospel. But I've learned this. I can chew on the meat and spit out the bones. Amen? And some things I can shelf. Maybe that's for the future. I'm not going to negate it. And there are sometimes you'll just know, that's not the Lord. You don't jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Say amen. Come on. I mean, gravity will take over and you will meet Jesus. Even Jesus knew that when Satan took them on top of the building and said, jump down, angels will give charge concerning you. And he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. God never told me to jump off the building. So you have to make sure who you get your instructions from. Even if Satan himself tries to bring a word to you, recognize what spirit's behind it. Is that good? How many of us we can walk in it? How many are glad you came today? How many are going to walk out more cheerful? Amen? Man, I'm going to walk out happy. Bible says don't be drunk with wine in excess, but be what? Be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, I'm walking out today filled with that Spirit. Glory to God. Amen? I used to do that to this workplace on Monday. I'd come in so happy. Oh man, you should know who I met yesterday. The greatest person on the planet. Oh man, this gentleman changed my life. And I'd build up just like that. And I'd have a whole group of guys and they'd say, well, who is it? I went to church and met Jesus. You should see them. Oh, just like that. The groans would be so great. Oh, but it was so great. Amen. I meant it. Hallelujah. They would laugh and go off and have fun. I didn't care. But when they needed prayer, they found me every single time. Pray for grandma. Pray for Nana. We need prayer. Hallelujah. I mean, God will do it. I want you to walk out with cheerful confidence today. God's done it. Amen. What he's done it before, he'll do it again. Hallelujah. It's good to see Mary up here. Amen. And glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, if you would, lift your hands towards heaven. Father, we surrender today and we declare we need you. God, we need you. Lord, whether we're facing some type of struggle or danger or Lord, things are fine, we still need you. Lord, help us to be like David, to look to you, Lord. As you've delivered them before, you'll deliver them in the present and also in the future. So, Father, a blessing on this congregation. Go with each one in strength and power and bring us back in that appointed day. In Jesus' name. Amen.